Six pack lap of that. I just hit record. I literally was just hovering over the record, and my keyboard's so sensitive. So here we go. Six pack lap of that. We got Rory Lynch, Amelia Potter, and this is the European previews for the men's division. And as per usual, we will do from the lightest weight class on up to the heaviest weight class. And so that'll kick us off with the 59 kilo class. And Rory, I think you were handling that one.
Yeah, sure. So, nominated first in the 59 kilo class, we've got Anton Garcia, whose best total is 587 kilograms, which he did in Malta this year. He's actually competed twice since then, and his total has been down both times. And the other interesting thing to note is that he actually missed his opening deadlift in both of those meets, which is like a really terrible habit to get into. In saying that, I did message him last night, and he got back to me and said that he's had the best prep that he's had in a really long time coming into this meet. He's managed to string together a number of consecutive training blocks with no interruptions, which he said is actually really unusual for him. So it sounds like he's feeling really positive coming into this, and he does have the highest nominated total. So I would be still keeping a really close eye on him. Behind him, we have Ishitak from Great Britain, whose best total is 568 kilograms, which was in March of this year. And he also was in Malta, and he came fifth. But he's incredibly hit and miss with his temp selection. So he averages about 7 for 9. But in his last meet, his best meet, he went 9 for 9 and hit a phenomenal total. So if we see Ishitak having that day where he goes like 8 for 9 or 9 for 9 again, and heading towards that sort of 600 kilo total range that he's done in training, then we could have a really close battle here. But if Ishita comes through and goes sort of 6 or 7 for 9, I don't think we're going to see that. And I think we might have a little bit of a runaway. And then I will just for, I guess, completion's sake, Carlos Gallego Gonzalez from Spain, his best total is 547.5 kilograms, but that was actually quite a long time ago now. That was about 18 months ago in April of last year. He also has an appalling hit rate on his attempt selection. I went back and looked at all of his meets, and he's only made about 30% of his third deadlifts ever. Which, if we're
Oh,
talking
wow.
about this meet, which is likely to come down to what, is possibly going to come down to the second or third deadlift, and it could actually get quite tight. Having that habit of missing deadlifts, and in particular missing third deadlifts, is not a good position to be in.
Wow, yeah. I mean, it is relatively tight coming down to the in terms of a podium selection, but when you miss on deads, man, you really put yourself out. And it's missing on opening deads in terms of Antoine really does set you back, because then you're stuck with, do you retake that opening weight or do you move up anyways? And that's when you get in that tricky, dicey position. Like, you miss the first one on the technicality, you miss the second one on strength. Now you're really backed into a
Yeah,
corner.
so one of those meets, he missed his opening deadlift on his opener, missed it again on his second, and only got it on his third. And so, you never want to be going 1 for 3, but you really don't want to be 0 for 2 coming into your third deadlift. Like, that puts you in a really tough position where, like, do you risk bombing to go up and like maybe get on the podium or maybe move up a podium position? Like, that's a really hard position to be in.
Yeah, it's interesting as well, because you said that Antoine, Ishtiak and Carlos all have kind of like iffy hit rates there. And then obviously the top three, with Darius just kind of 5 kilos behind Carlos on nominations. But it just shows perhaps you'll not know exactly what's going to happen in the 59 setting into it, if they all have that kind of hit to make ratio.
Moving into the 66s now. The story here, obviously, Penn is a super duper heavy favorite. The big discussion really is, do we think Penn is going to break a world record? And we had discussed, me, Amelia, and Sophia Ellis, whether or not, he should. Obviously, he's going to Sheffield. Sheffield was based off of world records. And then we were also talking about how, look, if he breaks a record by 0.5, half a kilo, percentage-wise, is that really going to help hurt him a whole hell of a lot at Sheffield? Will it matter in the bigger picture? And we're kind of contemplating whether or not he'd do it. And I was thinking he probably will go for it. And then I posted up the poll, a massive landslide saying they think Penn is going to go for it. And Penn replied. and said, I'm going all in and we're going for the world record at Euros. And that is typical Penna. I don't know if any of us are super surprised because Penna is like an, you know, drop the hammer all out type of guy anyways. But that's really the discussion here in terms of the major storylines for the 66s. Rory, you were taking a look at the 66s. What are your notes, kind sir?
Yeah, so the world record total is 710.5 kilograms. And really, Panna is a real runaway in this class, to be honest. And so I went through a lot of his training numbers and sort of estimated where I thought he would be at for each of those, sort of compared them to previous training numbers. And my estimate was that he's probably good for around 712 to 715. And so if we're talking about adding half a kilo to the world record, he's sort of bang on for that if he comes in and has a reasonably good performance. So I'm picking we're going to see him shooting for around about either 711 or 712.5 kilograms, because as you say, he's not going to want to jeopardize his, you know, Sheffield chances. But he has said more than once that he's not here just to win. He's not here just to be on the podium. Like, he is here to set the world record total. So I'm picking he's going to be shooting for it. And I think he has a really good shot of confirming that world record total at Euros.
So in the Sophia Ellis, in yours, the episode we did last, Amelia, we all did over under if Penna hits the world record. And I said under in that he would get it at, probably get it at Sheffield. But I pictured that he'd go for it. But he was the big game hunter that rises to the occasion. And when he's back to the wall, he's like that guy. But now I'm thinking with the way the hype has been building in the last week, in the amount of, you know, he's kind of piling on the pressure himself. I think he's, because he likes those kind of situations like we saw at Worlds. I feel like if he's going to drag his feet a little bit and no one's chasing him, that's why I was wondering. But if it means this much to him, and it's because I was debating whether or not having it at Sheffield as well, you know, just how all in he would be. But now I'm more convinced. And if I have to go over under, I think I'm going, he's going over as well, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I think, I can't remember when we recorded the podcast with Sophia, I think I was definitely on the fence, you know, and I was like, I might change my mind when it comes to the Euro preview show. And I think I'm more settled on over now, because he is, like you said, he's a showman and he's looking for that trifecta. Like, he didn't just want to tick one of those boxes. He wanted to tick all three, you know, Worlds, get into Sheffield and take back his European title. And I think, you know, he's not going to go halves on that. He's going to go 100% in. And I think just this year seems like his year, you know. So in the sense of how it's gone so far, I'd like to think that he would shoot for over and he would get it. But like Rory said, I don't think he's going to go leaps and bounds over what it is now. I think maybe even by just half a kilo, just to keep it sweet going into Sheffield.
It's what a, like a remarkable story. Obviously, he was French national champion, European champion, world champion. And then in 2022, he lost, you know, the world title, bombed out at Euros. And I don't even know if he went to French nationals, if I remember. So he lost everything. And then if this year comes back, takes the French national title, the European title, the world title, and the world record, and goes to Sheffield, gets the invite to Sheffield. I mean, that's literally the best possible year he could ask for. And talk about a remarkable comeback story for Penna, who's absolutely, you think about the last time he won the world title, he is just blown up on social media, online, his presence. And his legacy and what he means, like, globally now. It's insane when he posts, the type of traction he gets. Literally the only one who's catching up to him now is, like, is a Russell Lurie. It's him and Russ now who are, like, the biggest side, at least on the Mets. But maybe period. I don't know.
I think a lot of people throw the word redemption arc or, like, redemption out there. And I think Panna is probably the best example of, like, actually, no, that was a pretty big redemption year for him, and it's still going.
100%. Anything else we should take a look at, Rory, for the 66ers, sir?
No, I don't think so.
It's basically Penn is going to run away with this. And he's, you know, with all due respect to the 66ers, I mean, we got some quality lifters here for sure. But Penn is just, you know, that the redemption story, and he's such a big, you got a world champion in the rankings. What about the 74, sir? Speaking of world champions, we got a couple of them. We got a few of them, actually, if you want to include juniors.
Yeah. So I took a really deep look at the top three of the 74s to begin with. But I think it's worth saying that immediately, Alexander Eriksson is out. He's pulling out of this meet. So he is obviously a former world champion, but he's injured his back just in the last 2 or 3 weeks. And so he's pulling out of this meet. He told me this is the first time he's pulled out of a meet in 12 years of competing. So I think this is reasonably severe, but he is planning to come back for the March Euros. And so he did actually send me a clip of Arnold Schwarzenegger being like, "I'll be back," which I did think was very funny. But no, so he's out for this meet.
What I did know, sorry, you go ahead.
Go for it.
Wow, I don't want to step on your toes. So you go ahead and I'll add on to your notes.
That's all I was going to say about Alexander. I was going to move on.
Well, I was going to say about Shell Beckland and talk about that, but I'll let you because I sent that in the chat.
Yeah, okay. So Shell Beckland, obviously, so one-time classic world champion, 4 times a quick world champion, if I got that right, and one-time World Games champion as well. His training is looking really, really good. So he did a 770 kilo total earlier this year. He did do it as an 83, albeit a light 83. And he's done a 760 this year at weight. So that was in Malta where he came fourth. He makes a lot of attempts, which kind of sort of like I touched on earlier, can make a big difference when it comes down to the line. But I'm just not sure that this is going to come down to the line, right? I think he's probably good for something around about a 780 at this meet. And I messaged him and he said that this is the first time that he's really focused on classic for a solid amount of time since like 2017. Training's been going really well. He's not injured at all. And so he thinks he's going over 780 as well. And so then sort of behind that, I would have Joshua Wright, whose best total is 742.5. And he is making like really good progress for somebody who's at this level. Like he's put almost 30 kilograms on his total in the last 18 months or so, which is pretty phenomenal. And he's feeling good. His injuries are gone. And he thinks he's coming into this for a PR total as well. But that puts Kjell sort of still 30 kilos ahead of him. So like, I don't think this is going to be particularly close either, but I am expecting to see a really good performance from both of them.
So Becklin, I posted on King of Lifts. He had, and this is gym lifts, obviously, right? But an SBD day where he did 780. So he is, I mean, we'll see what he does on the day, obviously. He hasn't really had any issues making weight previously, historically speaking. It's more injuries. People remember he's the one who had the rivalry with Taylor. They went 1-1 at the World Championships. He beat Taylor. Taylor came back and beat him. Then he went into equipped. And a lot of that, he said, had to do with injuries on his hips. So he moved into equipment because the equipment actually gave him a little more stability in the hips and actually unseated Oleg, 17 world titles in equipped. And Shell comes over and breaks the win streak, becomes the goat slayer. And for a long time, it looked like he's not going to return to classic due to these injuries, particularly in the hips. And here he is with an SBD day of 780. Now that's in training. Maybe when he peaks and hits a platform, he goes heavier. Maybe he doesn't, right? We've seen both happen, but it's a nice little anchor benchmark to take a look at. Also, in the mix, we have Dylan Nelson from Great Britain, who's always in the mix for breaking that squat world record. A phenomenal squatter and capable of some big lifts. He does cut. He's a big 74. We'll see how it goes for him. Young guy. And speaking of young guys moving up, Alberto, 2-time junior world champion, once in the 66s, once in the 74s, looking super strong. And I'm very interested in seeing where he's going to end up, because with Alexander out, it is going to be a battle between Dylan Nelson and Alberto to see who's going to get in that podium spot then. They're both coming in with a nominated 724. Alberto eating into 74s and growing, and Dylan probably got some pretty big cuts. He's a big 74. I haven't checked in to see where his walking body weight is at, but if you meet him, I've met him in real life. He's a rather big 74. So we'll see. We'll have to see how it all shakes up. I know Alberto's getting stronger and stronger in the 74s. So I'm interested in seeing where his progress is.
Yeah, they're both really big squatters as well. I think Alberto has the junior world record squat as well. And like you said, their totals are neck and neck going in. I think Dylan's nutrition and slash therefore cut has been better as of late. Obviously, he's had a couple mishaps during his squats in the past. But he's been working with Kedrick, I believe. So hopefully a little bit easier, but obviously cutting into a weight class is always going to be a little bit more hectic than eating into one.
I mean, forget what competition was where he was squatting and throwing up and like, into, I don't know if that was
2022 Worlds. I want to say that
was it. Okay.
It was South Africa, and it happened again at Manchester Open this summer as well, unfortunately.
And is that because he changed his name? Like his name was Spew Shady because he kept throwing up while squatting. Is that was that weight cut related? Trying to rehydrate? Do we know? Because if it's happening multiple times,
so I think rehydrating in South Africa, I think the kind of that sort of business. And I might be wrong, but I believe this is what it was that kind of stuff in South Africa. And I was actually helping handle someone who was going either before or after Dylan at the competition it happened at recently. And he was just like, I don't know why this keeps happening. So I don't think Manchester, because he was working with Kedrick heading into Manchester Open. So I don't think that was like a nutrition issue, but you know, maybe muscle memory. I'm not sure. Like, hopefully it's the last of it.
Yeah. Okay. Move any more notes from 74s? Should we move into 83s?
I think the only other thing that I would want to say about the 74s is that I think next year's World Championships is lining up to look like a really good match. And so I think Shell's performance here is going to be sort of indicative of how his next year may go. And so what I'm looking for here is not necessarily how he does for Euro's sake, but how he does as part of his preparation coming into Worlds next year. So that's something that's on my mind while watching this class.
Like underneath Perkins, I agree. Like there's Perkins who's so crazy far ahead, it's ridiculous. But underneath him, there's a cluster of lifters that are going to be battling for the podium. And it's going to be all around 800 kilo type lifts. We'll see, because obviously Johansson, you got Taylor Atwood. Let's see what happens with Taylor. And Shell is back. And, you know, I mean, Tim Monagotti, obviously he's going to be at Sheffield as well. So we have, and all of them are full well capable, and they're all relatively close in kilos. So the battles are going to be freaking fantastic underneath Perkins. And Perkins looks like he's going to have a considerable advantage walking in, but still be a good battle nonetheless underneath. But yeah, I agree. I'm interested in seeing how Shell does and if he's back to 100%. Moving into the 83s. Now, this battle is going to be interesting. I had these three top gentlemen on the podcast just last night. I recorded it. So I'm not sure when I'm going to drop it, if I drop this one first or whatnot. But whoever listening to this one, you guys are going to want to have to check that one out, because Jurins, I was asking them if they thought Delaney Wallace was going to break the record at Sheffield. Some of them said yes, some of them said no. I won't get into that right now. You're going to have to check it out. However, Jurins did say if he had to break the record, he thinks he could at Euros. That's how good his prep is going. He said it's not out of reach. And that's 841 for anybody who needs a reminder. 841. Now, Jurins has hit 820.5 previously. And his lifts are looking good. I mean, they don't show everything, but his deads are on point. His squats are on point. And he's super confident. He's only going to go that heavy if he has to. And that's all going to come down to Enahoro, who plays his card somewhat close to his chest, but gauging his confidence on that podcast. He also sounds like both of these gentlemen were saying essentially, when Russell Orhi comes back, previously they were almost participation awards when he's around. He's ahead by like 50 kilos X, whatever. And they think when Russell comes back, it's going to be competition. You know, these fellas in the Urals changed from boys to men in the past 2 years, and now it's going to be actually a scrap. It's not going to be, you know, Russ isn't just going to come over and eat his food. So I, judging by how confident they are, I want to see the, what they're going to put up. Now, Jurens also said if his second attempt moves like he suspects, he's going to load up the world record, which is 321 kilos, I believe. So 705, 706 pounds-ish. So we have a couple potential world records coming out of Jurens. Everything is going to depend on, because Jurens is obviously going to load up with the squat. And by the time the deadlift rolls around, his total, like Enahoro is going to do what Enahoro does and try to pull for the win. So we need to build that total. Let's see what happens with this third squat. If his third squat is that world record, we're right on point. And let's, God knows how far he's going to push that total. But Enahoro's deadlift seems at certain times limitless. In terms of Eduardo Mazzucchelli, he's confident, but he also was, there was a poll I put up because Enahoro was kind of instigating this conversation saying, I think both Edo and Jurens could go for that world record 321. Edo said on the podcast, let's not get ahead of ourselves. So Edo's previously hit 308, more likely to be 310 to 315 range on that squat. He's got a very big squat on him. I mean, he's got three, he's a three lift artist, but in comparison to when you got guys like Enahoro in the mix, but he's, I'm anticipating, so that's 785. It's total a dip from the 800 he had hit at the Italian Nationals. Talking on the podcast, he anticipates being 800 and up, maybe a little over 800 the way he's pacing. So what I think it's going to come down to Jurens and Enahoro, and Edo will stay close enough that if they push each other and start overreaching, for instance, Jurens misses his third squat because he loaded up too much, and now the propensity to miss the third deadlift is higher, that's when he's going to make a play to start moving up the rankings. But if not, I'm anticipating Edo to be pacing just over 800. And those fellas, Enahoro and Jurens, I think will be 820 and up. World record on, I'm sure, but I think 820 and up, judging by how they're talking. So this is some world-class 83s in the battle for the 83s. It's going to be tight. I don't even know who I'm going to pick here. Are we doing picks, or are we just giving previews? We haven't been picking.
Previews.
Yeah, look at us bowing out. Look at us bowing out like cowards. Yeah, I mean, it's a tight
one. I'm comfortable on this fence. Thank you.
What do you guys feel about this one? Because Enahoro has that final deadlift, but he hasn't hit at the two worlds that he pulled. In last Euros, he just got his opener. But is he due? If he ever hits that third deadlift, my God.
I think one thing is for sure that, well, I can never say for sure, I know that. But, you know, the top three would have to do something very wrong to not end up the top three. You know, they are pretty significantly ahead of the rest of the pack. So, you know, should they get enough lifts in to kind of keep that distance, we know who the top three are going to be. And the order of that, like you said, depends on how many, I think how many lifts each of them can get in, honestly. And we know that some, like, Jurens has had great days and put up great totals and also less great days, and same with Enna. So, you know, it'll be obviously who can lift the most for sure, but it's definitely be some game playing there. Like, how many lifts can you put out? Because I think that's what it's going to come down to at the end of the day.
Well, important to note that, sorry, Rory, are you going to say something? Okay, here we go again. All right, I'll build it up. Important, sorry, dude. Important to note that Jurens, who had a bad Worlds, but had a great prep, but left his best in the gym, and then 2 weeks later had the second best total of his career at Silent Worker. They took those data points and know what they did wrong. And this prep has been phenomenal and obviously super confident. Eduardo as well. Also, 800 kilo total at Italian Nationals, dropped by 15 kilos at Worlds. He also thinks the data points that he collected from that world's experience, he's made the proper adjustments. And Enoharo also, even though he had a good world, he didn't have the worlds that he thought he was capable of. Attempt selection on those deadlifts is going to be key. He can't go super duper heavy too many times in a row at the top end because he's an 83 kilo lifter and he's pulling over 800 pounds several times in a competition. He even said it's a possibility he'll do an opener, knock him out for a second, and just go all in for his third. Because we all know he's pulling for the win. We know this. And for him, it's almost like I want to win or nothing. With collecting medals at Worlds and everything he's done, does it mean more to win the European title or secure silver or bronze? I think he might go all in. He doesn't know for sure if he's going to do this. But if not scratching the second attempt, doing a much smaller second attempt to reserve the energy resources to go all in on the third, because that's something that at Worlds, he had a pretty big second. He did a 370 kilo second attempt at Worlds. It's ridiculous how, and to lift that much twice at a World Championships when you're an 83 kilo lifter is very difficult. I want an over under on you guys. The podium, 800 kilos and up. Rory? Yes or no?
Top of the podium or all of the podium?
All of the podium. 800. They've all hit 800 kilos and up before, but they haven't all done it. They've been spotty at it.
Under.
Ooh. Pray tell why. You think people are going to push each other and start missing because...
I think all of these lifters are reasonably inconsistent. Like, all of them, if they have a good day, are going to be 810 to 840, right? Like, on a good day. But... not every day is a good day. We've seen some really good performances from all of them, and we've seen some like quite mediocre performances from all of them. Sometimes even back to back, sometimes coming off really good preps, sometimes coming off really bad preps as well. And so I just think the odds of all three of them putting it together on the same day, it's not impossible. I just don't see it happening. I think it's unlikely.
I'll give mine at the end. Amelia, do we have a podium of 800 up?
I'm going to have to agree with Rory, but I will say 2-1. I will say I think 2 will and 1 won't. And, you know, due to the same reasons, they're going to be pushing each other. They're all going to feel like they have something to prove, you know, like it is so close. They will be kind of pushing that. And I think as a result, it's not unreasonable to think that someone, who the someone is, we don't know, but someone's going to miss somewhere. It's more likely, and we see that more often than, you know, everybody goes 9-for-9.
I'm actually going to say all three go 800 and up, and I'll tell you why. I do believe them that they collected those data points on why things went wrong previously, and I think they've gotten strong enough that their off days are going to start floating around 800 kilos. But look, at Malta wasn't a long time ago, and two of them went under 800. So you guys are not off. You're not being, you know, quote unquote haters or whatever. And the thing is too, they're pushing each other. Like Jurens is talking about loading up a world record squad on his third attempt. You can miss that. You know, you can, obviously he's saying, if my second, I'm not going in there saying I need that world record. If my second moves like I want it to move, I'm going all in on it. But this is when, you know, you teeter too much and you teeter over. So we'll have to see. It's a possibility. Perhaps he goes over 800, even if he misses his third squat, though. I mean, it's tough to say. To your point, Rory, he's done 820.5. He's also dipped at like 780s again. So it's very difficult. They can be a little hit and miss. We'll have to see. But this is a good battle. And in terms of world, what this means for Worlds, these guys are all heavy hitters. And these, I mean, I don't have to tell anybody who's been paying attention. All of these guys are podium threats at the World Championships. And frick, Enoharo pulls for the World Championship, period. The gold medal the last 2 years in a row. It'll be super exciting. If he can, here's my second follow-up question. 820 and up wins it, is the winning total. 820 and up. Rory?
Yes.
Yes? Amelia?
Yeah, I mean, I've been there when Durance has totaled that. I know he's had a good prep. And even though Enna's been more secretive about it, you know, like you said, if he gets that last pull, which, you know, he has the ability just to put on what he wants because he comes out last regardless, you know, and he will. And I don't know, I've got a good feeling like this comp might be the comp where he gets that last deadlift, you know?
I think A20 and Up will win it. And you pretty much just said you think Inoharo wins because if Inoharo only
No.
Yeah, you did. He only pulls for the win. Now you gotta think about what you now you're thinking about it like, oh shit, that's true. He only ever does pull for gold.
I honestly think it's like tossing a coin at this point between Durance and Enna. I will say I think it's between those two, on my side of things. But it's like I'm so firmly on the fence. I think I'm going to move in, you know?
You're going to lean towards Jerns because you're a Brit and he's going to be like, what the hell in your DMs? But I agree, man. Eventually, Inoharo is going to get that third. Moving on to the 93s, talking about Brits, three division British champion, Christian Iyendokun is, the prep's gone well. He's firmly in the lead in this one, and I'll tell you why. Based off nominations, obviously, Rico Baden from France would be a very close runner, just a few kilos behind him on nominations. However, talking to Rico, injured himself and had to pull out due to that injury, unfortunately. That definitely makes Christian a much heavier favorite. He was number one nomination, but now he's got a pretty big spread from Andrea from Italy. You know what? I say that he totaled 821.5 at Italian Nationals in October. In Christian, whose prep has gone well, is nominated with 822.5. Now it all depends if you believe, because Christian has also hit 842.5. So their nominations are a little deceiving at that. Christian's done more than his nominated total. And so is Andrea from Italy. A 20 kilo spread when you're this deep isn't crazy. You could see once you hit the platform, one guy goes 10 kilos in the wrong direction, the other guy goes 10 kilos up, and now we're neck and neck. I'm still going to say Christian is probably at nominated one, is probably still the favorite, and based off what I'm seeing, but it's a closer battle than maybe the nominations might have said due to the Italian Nationals in October. It will 821.5. It's a decent jump from its previous nominated total, but is that too soonish? Look, we're just at the end. We're just at the beginning of December. That was October. I don't know what kind of turnaround most people like, but when we talk about 4 to 5, 6 weeks-ish, most lifters start saying, in this international flights, most people start saying, it's a little tight for me. I don't like having to do that if I can avoid it. So we'll have to see how that also hits. But I'll take Christian. Robin Larson from Sweden reached out to him and got a little feedback on how his prep has been. And the Swede said, prep has never been better. Nominated an even 800 kilos. What exactly does that mean? Is it enough to cover the 21 and a half kilo spread and possibly nudge into silver? I'm not sure. I'm going to put him in as a bronze medalist. Although Mark from Spain, Rius, is very close as well. The nominated 795, and he's got the bigger deadlift, and you know how that goes. He'll have the last say. But flying a little blind because I'm not seeing the social media posts. I'm just going off of feedback from the lifters. So hopefully I'm not being led astray here. But if Robin has got the best prep ever, I guess I'll lean towards him for possible for the bronze medal here. But there's your 93 kilos. It's tough that Rico's gone because I think Rico and Christian would have been a good tilt. Rico, his 818 nominated, he's stronger. That's an old total. I mean, he's lifted since then. He's been dealing with injuries. His totals hasn't really increased since then. As a matter of fact, it's gone down a little bit, but he's capable of more. And hopefully he can get injuries gone, back on the right track, and like display his full tilt, what he's capable of. Because when he does, his total is going to shoot way up from there. Any notes you guys want to toss in the 93s? You ready to move on to the 105s? All right. Well, the 105s, it's return of the king, Anatoly Novopismani, two-time world's best lifter, returns, but so does Emil Norling. And this is where things get a little bit interesting. Anatoly, we all know the dominant force he's been in the 105s. Capable and has the world record, 940. Now, this is, we got some USAPL lifters coming over, and they're going to contest that. I got you, before anyone listening starts telling themselves that. But at Euros, at the European Championships, the last two times Anatoly faced Emil Norling, Emil Norling came out on top. He's 2-0 at the European Championships against Anatoly for various other reasons, sometimes injury. Last year, of course, Anatoly, with the war going on in Ukraine, he was coming back. He said, I'm not 100%. My conditioning's not up, but I want to hit the platform. I want to lift. So, obviously, Anatoly has Sheffield looming, coming off of the World Championships. What kind of conditioning is he in? Checking out social media, he's shifting decent weights, but I'm not seeing a lot of top-end singles. But he doesn't always show a lot of top-end singles. He can be a difficult guy to read. Emil, when I posted online and I said these guys are going to clash again, Emil was quick to echo, yeah, last two times we clashed at Euros, I won. And Emil's top end, I know 940 is Anatoly's, but Emil at 928.5 isn't that far behind. 11 and a half kilos when we're inching towards the mid 900s, that's a bench press attempt away. I mean, these gentlemen at the top end, if they're both 100%, are 11 and a half kilos spread between them. We just think of Anatoly as such a dominant force because he wins best lifter when he wins as well. So it feels even more overwhelming. But Emil is in it. And then, of course, there's Britain's Ben Pape. I reached out to him. Prep has gone very well, and he's expecting good things. I think Ben is a very solid bronze medal. Ben himself said, I'm not going to catch Emil. I'm not going to catch Anatoly, but I think he's going to end up on the podium. How do you guys see this battle? What are we dealing with here? Because Anatoly just did Malta. He's got Sheffield, and here we are right in between.
Yeah, I think
Amelia.
So Commonwealth of us. So I think, like you said, Emil and Anatoly aren't so far apart, but I think they're probably coming in with slightly different mindsets. You know, Emil is pushing, perhaps feels like there's something to prove, like I can beat you for a third clash. You know, I know you're going to Sheffield, but I can still out total you here. Whereas Anatoly perhaps is going in slightly more, I've got Sheffield in 3 months and, you know, sure, I'll push to win. I want another title. But, you know, it's possible he didn't even properly prep or peak for Euros, because other than Emil, there isn't too much contention, you know, for the gold medal. So I feel like, even though they're very close, they perhaps are approaching it. And this is just me guessing. I don't know. I haven't spoken to either of them, but I imagine they're approaching it slightly differently. But that's not to say it won't still be close. Obviously, Emil has that massive deadlift, so can just wait until that final pull and decide, you know, what he needs to do.
What are you thinking there, Rory?
I generally find it very hard to bet against Anatoly. Like, obviously, he hasn't come best off the last two Euros. And this is a little bit of a strange meet, because even though it is the European Championships, there isn't really a lot riding on it. Like, this isn't qualifying for anything. There's another European Championships in like 4 months. He's got what is debatably the biggest meet in the world in about 3 months. Does this meet matter if you're Anatoly? Like, do you care very much? And so on a good day he's 940, 950, right? But if it was me, or if I was coaching him coming into this, I probably wouldn't have treated it super seriously, because I would be, you know, eyes on the real prize, which is Sheffield in 3 more months. And so I think this is going to be way closer than it looks on nominations. Like, you know, like we say, it's 11 and a half kilos, it's a little bit over 1%. I suspect that Emil is going to be going 100% though, and Anatoly just might not be.
Yeah.
Well, here's a good question for you then. Because Anatoly, obviously, he doesn't want to get in a dogfight and push this world record too far anyways. it would be shooting himself in the foot for Sheffield. However, Emil is only 11 and a half kilos off the world record. I want an over-under. Does Emil break the world record at Euros? And judging on if the social media has been very difficult because he hasn't shown his top end. I can't see exactly where he's at. He's confident, if that's an indication. But I'm not seeing the numbers to know to be able to add it up. So we're going off of, you know, intuition and possibly his confidence.
I'm saying under. I don't think Emil is capable of breaking the world record this time.
Amelia, does he cover the 11 kilos? 11? Does he go 12 kilos more and break the world record?
I feel like such a negative Nelly every time I've said I think under. I'm so conservative.
Speak your truth. Speak your truth, Queen.
I'm going to say he will push for it and perhaps miss it. I mean, he's nominated with a 380 total, 380 deadlift, which is some people's total, you know, which is huge. But, you know, it's not that many more kilos, but when that is your top end, it feels like a lot more kilos to gain.
Right.
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say under as well, if I'm honest, but I want to throw it out there because you never know. Here's the thing. If inspired, and we've seen him inspired, where he loads up on the last dead and pulls for the win. He's done it before to defeat Anatoly at the European Championships. When Anatoly won Worlds, came back, and Emil defeated him at European Championships just a couple months later, he loaded up that final deadlift. And he's the miracle man with that final deadlift. He's been behind so many times and pulled out the unlikely win with that final deadlift. But I think you guys had a great point that I don't think Anatoly's going to push him too close to 940. I think Anatoly's probably somewhat going to jog to the finish line. And as such, I think Emil isn't going to, why would you load up with more than the world record if that's more than you need to beat Anatoly, take the win and become a European champion again? So for all those variables, and I think you guys are right, I think Emil will not, at least not this time. And then in the future, God knows where that world record is going to end up because Ashton Rouska is coming. So we'll see. And of course, Anatoly is going to have another run at it at Sheffield. And that is where I think Anatoly will take the world record from 940, probably into the 950s. And we'll see where that ends up. All right, moving into the 120s. Jonah Van Dijk from Germany, junior silver medalist, was on the podcast. Training's been going well. And I asked him, because Tony Cliff in the 950s, in the 950s is really where you start becoming an elite 120 now with how stacked the 120s are coming. Obviously, Bob Matthews coming over from the USAPL. The 120s are so stacked for the 2024 year. Jonah has an opportunity right now to make a statement. I asked him, is the 950 range probably a target for these European championships? He said he'd hope so. Can he make the spread? I think he'll get at least close. However, I know he's nominated with 906, but did you see Indy's 395 deadlift that move oh so smooth? Now, I don't know if there was an SBD day. Probably not. So how does this deadlift move after he's already maxed out on squat, maxed out on dead? Oh, by the way, his squat is moving phenomenal too, squatting 350. Like, it's, his numbers are absolutely insane right now. I think Indy is also capable of floating around the mid 900s now. Both of these people, it's going to be a dogfight. I think they're going to push each other towards the mid 900s. Are they going to hit the 950 range? Let me, before I ask you guys that, and I'm going to throw this on you like I have been. Quick note, Coco is pulled out due to injury. So the obvious, the next guy up for a bronze medalist would likely be Matthias from Poland. And it's a shame, Coco, he's been dealing with some injuries, but yeah, it's, or sorry, He hasn't pulled out. He said he's going in as a small 105. He's going to compete, but he's not looking to do a major push. So he hasn't pulled out. Sorry. That was I'm mixing my note up with him and Rico. But injuries have been plaguing him. And if you're wondering, he's not ballooning into the 120s. He's going to be a small 105. This is a stay busy somewhat meet, and he's not going to be probably going all out to make a major push. So that's why I'll take Mateus. But so really, this is going to be a focus on the two gentlemen at number one and number two. 950. How many lifters hit 950, the 950 mark? Zero, one, two. Rory, you go first.
Zero.
Ooh. You think it's just too big of an ask?
I think it's too big of an ask. Like, I think both of these men are capable of that. But like a 25 kilo total PB would be a really big total PB for Jonah, and 44 for Indy. Like, his training is going well, but is it going 44 kilo total PB well? Like, that's just a really big ask on the best day. And doing it on not quite the biggest platform in the world, but one of the biggest platforms in the world, sort of adds pressure to that. And so if we were talking, can Indy do 950 today in the gym, or can Indy do 950 today in a local meet, I might be a little bit more positive about it. But with somebody else pushing him at a reasonably big meet, we've kind of touched on why it may be not as high pressure as a continental event might sometimes be, but it is still a reasonably big meet. And going for a really big total PB, my God, I'm turning into a professional hater, aren't I? But yeah, I don't see it this time.
You got to be a realist. Amelia, what are you thinking?
Jonah and Indy don't strike me as the type of people who necessarily will get too shook up by their opponents moving in certain ways. So I think that might affect them less than other people. 350, 950, I don't know why I'm obsessed with the 300 today. 950, I was trying to do some maths. I think, like Rory said, it's a lot to put on the total. Both these nominations are coming from their respective worlds, Open and Junior. I will say very close, maybe in the 940s. But 950 itself, I think, is a big ask. I was very quiet during Rory's because I was trying to do the maths. But, you know, Jonah competed in August with that total, Indy in June. So they both had like a fair amount of time, Indy slightly longer, and obviously his training has been very, very good. But so I think like the 906 isn't indicative of anywhere near what he'll do on the day. 940s, I would say.
I'd agree with you guys, actually. I think they're both by 2024. When those worlds rolls around, we're going to have several 120s, 950 and up. I think it's just too soon for these gentlemen. I think Indy, I mean, I could throw 10 kilos. I could see 10 kilos going on a squat. He's nominated 340. 10 kilos probably on that deadlift. He's nominated 386. But again, when he pulled 395, that wasn't maxing out on squat, wasn't maxing out on a bench press. And he could throw some kilos on his bench press as well. But to your point, 906 doesn't turn into 950, even with what I just said I'd throw onto his lifts, which is considerable, which is great progress. And he should be very proud of it. I do see him continuing this progress. And by next World Championships, Bob Matthews comes over and it'll be a conversation of, you know, Bob Matthews, he's got 960s a PR total so far. He's got to keep that if he's going to win or go above, because he'll have several lifters behind him, either going 950 and up. So that's good. By the time Bob comes over, he's going to have some competition. Not yet. Jonah, probably the same. I think not yet. 926.5, he's done massive gains to get up to 926. And I'm sure he could. I say I don't think for Jonah, but he's the one where I'm not entirely sure, because he has done huge jumps. He's only been competing for a year in powerlifting and done massive jumps and still developing newbie gains and is a junior. So he's the one that when I do the math for Indy, it looks like he's pacing, but not yet. But Jonah, it's more difficult. He's also not showing as much on social media. So we're somewhat, and he doesn't train like that. Yeah, I mean, he came on the podcast and said, like, it's going to be difficult to say. He does sub max, he's very sub-max when he trains. He does a lot of bodybuilding style progression and training. So it's very difficult for him to for us to tell and glean. On the podcast, he said mid-900s, but where he'll fall, I'm not sure. I'm very interested in seeing what Joan ends up.
Yeah, and I think they will both actually be quite close to each other. I think they may be both in the 940s at Euros. Like, obviously, Jonah makes up a lot of... The squats are almost identical. Jonah makes up a lot of ground on bench, and then obviously Indy is the world record holder in the 120s. So, you know, they're evenly matched in different areas. I also think Barak, you know, the other British lifter, I think his total is going to be considerably higher than what it is on there. So I think he actually could be in contention for bronze against Matthias as well.
Let me also say, oh yeah, and thank you for throwing that note. I also want to say, now that you bring up Jonah's bench press, world record is held by Dennis Cornelius, 253. Jonah's bench press is 250.5. I would be shocked if we don't see him make a run at that bench press world record at Euros, as long as everything's feeling good, obviously. But at the very least, Jonah's going to take an attempt at an open world record, which is obviously a year in is crazy. But his future's bright. And yeah. I'm just to see where he ends up as a measuring stick, Euros is very interesting to me for Jonah and his rate of progression. But yeah, it's too bad about Coco. And let's see with the rest of the 120s. Looking at the 120 pluses, shall we? And Timur is back. I asked him how his training was. He doesn't post a lot, but he did offer me training's been going very well. He's got a nominated 1008. He said he's looking to improve upon his European and world records. He has the world junior record. Keep that in mind. He's still a junior. So he's looking to break. Obviously, he's pacing for PRs then. He's got a 395 squat. I wouldn't be surprised at all based off of his feedback, not what I'm seeing, because I'm not seeing he doesn't show a lot, but his feedback would indicate maybe he's ready to break into the 400 kilo range in terms of squats. And his deadlift 388, he's not far off the 400 kilo range as well there. So it'll be interesting to see where he ends up. And Cenk Kocak from Turkey asked him how his training is going. He also does not post very much, but he did tell me training is going along the lines of how Malta went. So we can anticipate he's a nominated 105.5. If he's going to end up around there, then and he's pacing the same, maybe he ends up. I mean, he's got an absolute monstrous deadlift. He's pulled 400. Let's see if he go into the 400s again and see where he ends up. He sometimes has been dealing with injuries, but judging off the limited information he gave me when I DM'd him on an update, he sounds like he's healthy. So and he's a big guy. He can shift some weight and he can go all in on the deadlift. If Timur misses, Cenk can load up on that deadlift. Timur's got a phenomenal deadlift, but Cenk should be able to outpull him. And who knows? I'm not entirely sure how this will shake up. It all depends on where Timur ends up by the time deadlifts rolls. Cenk has been a little hit and miss, you know, when it comes to that deadlift, when it comes down to the final pulls. You never know what you're going to get. Rico Martin reached out to him. He told me for the first time in a long time, he's feeling amazing coming into this prep. Previous competitions, there's always been something. And he was just talking to his coach about it. He said, before I had messaged, this time he feels like he's ready to make a statement. He's got a nominated 952.5, but he's capable of a lot more. I think we're going to see, I mean, I don't want to overstep, but he'll get closer to that 1,000 kilo range in terms of a total. I also want to give note, nominated way down on 8th, Stanley Odin from France. I know he's nominated with 890, but he has hit 940. So that's a deceiving nomination. He has squatted 362.5, 800 pounds. He's also deadlifted 362.5, 800 pounds. He's capable of squatting and deadlifting 800 pounds in the same meet. He's got a massive deadlift on him as well and is definitely a podium threat. For him, it's really going to depend on Rico Martin. Now, Rico coming with 952.5 and Stanley coming with 940. If Rico wasn't 100, if I didn't get the message that Rico had said that he's feeling amazing, I would have really thought maybe Stanley has an opportunity here to to pull off maybe a little bit of a bump and end up on the podium. But if Rico's feeling that, like he said, he's feeling in the DMs, and he's due for that super meet, as they say, I think Rico's still going to end off on the podium. But Stanley is a threat, and we can't look past him. Obviously, we got a lot of the rest of the field that we're used to seeing. Aaron Thompson from Great Britain, massive squatter, made a load up over 400 kilos on his squat. Absolutely phenomenal squatter. You've seen him at the World Championships. Full well capable of pulling on the show. Steve Ringoat from Belgium, phenomenal lifter, been in multiple World Championships. I mean, the guy's a grizzled veteran and one of the nicest guys you're going to meet as well. Nudi from Finland, another wily veteran. Any notes you guys want to add? Pretty much sums it up on the men's side. And I'll tell you right now, my pick, I think Great Britain will win on the men's side for national teams. What do you think, Amelia?
It would be rude for me to say.
All righty. Well, any other notes? What do you think there, Rory? I know I didn't ask you ahead of time, but do you have any ideas you might be thinking for a national team?
I think France is always a good bet. I think Great Britain is probably a good bet as well. And just because I'm enjoying sitting on the fence today, I'll say that the Italian team is looking really strong, and it looks like they've sent quite a lot of lifters as well, which is actually a huge benefit when we're talking about these team placings. You know, by the time you've got people in sort of picking up thirds and fourths here and there, that ends up stacking up to quite a lot of team points across the board. So like, if it was one of those three countries, I would be not at all surprised.
There it is. All right. Well, listen, everybody, make sure you also tune into the Women's European Preview Show. As always, please do give us high ratings, post up in your stories, your picks. We will respond as long as I can see them. Bear with me. I'm not going to see them all. And until next time, Six Pack Lab at Six Up, and we are out.